your team winning?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, but it's Sunday. I thought they play Saturday.
It's Sunday, yeah. They play both, innit?
This is Liverpool that you're rooting for?
Yeah, mate. Yeah.
Oh,
fuck. Did they score a goal yet?
Did they score a goal yet? Oh, hang on a second. We're doing a cold open, but we have a special surprise guest, and
Michael,
it's a princess.
Do not turn around. Do not turn around.
There's Michael, you're surrounded by a princess.
There's a princess. You want to say hi?
Yeah. It's a tiny Terry.
Tiny Terry.
That was a tiny tiny Terry, and this is an all new
Smartless.
All new Smartless.
Smart.
Sean, I just did the stupid thing to Sean, but it reminded me before you came on, JB.
Yeah.
The other day, I keep finding new ways to embarrass Alessandra. We were at dinner, just the two of us, over there in the Sag Harbor.
And you forgot to wear your wig.
No, and I, no. How can you forget? No. The glue is so thick.
And you keep it by the key bowl, right?
The glue's thick. The glue,
the key bowl.
It says 6 weeks, but let's be honest, after 5 weeks, it starts to crack.
You have to reapply.
Yeah, you're reapplying. But I have like a caulking gun I can get under there sometimes. And just, I can just do a touch-up in the moment. You know what I mean? Like if I'm windsurfing.
Get a good caulk. Get a good caulk in there.
Yeah. Yeah. But right as our server came to the table, I look up the server and go, 1 second. I go, oh, sorry. So to answer your question, it's guess who's back? Back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. As if Alessandra had asked me the lyrics to that Eminem song. And then I go, sorry, yeah, we're ready to order.
Did the waiter have any idea?
No idea. Didn't
it would have
care.
Been lost
waiters
on me.
You know, waiters don't, first of all, they're not there. They're not there for entertainment. They're not psyched. They don't want to laugh at your stupid
shit.
Yeah.
You ever been?
A waiter goes like, hey, we're all out of the salmon. You go, all right, we're out of here. The waiter's like, hey, fucko, I've heard that a million times.
Yeah, a million times.
I just want to take
but,
your
you know, I've But I've said it a bunch before, so apologies. But I have always kind of loved the idea of being a waiter just for the performative element of it, where you have different, each table's a different stage, and you, the different audience, and you got to figure out who they need you to be in order to get the biggest tip.
Well,
that would have been my game.
Let's hope this, your new limited series hits, because if it doesn't, you might get a chance to try it out. You know what I mean?
Wait a minute. Speaking of, Black Rabbit.
Shawnee did the nicest thing last night. He came over last night with Scotty and took a look at the first two episodes because we're not locked yet. I need eyes on it. I need opinions.
And you're going to shut your mouth for 1 second because, Will, have you seen the two episodes? The first two episodes?
No. Well, no, I'm not there with you.
No, guys. I didn't know if you could send it to him. It's so fucking great. It's
what are you
so
say?
Good.
You're not gonna say, of course you're going to say that.
He doesn't need to go out.
I don't need to.
I'd
be like, oh, it's really good. Anyway, well, that's kind of, it's so good. And Jay, that character's unlike anything I've ever seen you play before. It's so surprising and exciting. And
so it's likable.
Yeah. No, but it's going to be one of those series everybody talks about. It's
of course it is.
You're completely sucked in right away. Who's that? Why is that guy? And you start asking your questions as an audience member, and you know they're going to get answered in the few episodes that follow. But it's
when
so
you didn't
exciting.
Run after the first episode, I knew I was in good shape because you do like to be in bed 5:30.
JB, it must feel good, and you've got to get a bunch of demographics. You know, you got the moron demographic now is covered therein.
I was really pressing him and Scotty. I was like, you guys sure you understood everything?
He asked me that after. You sure you understood everything?
I bet it's gonna be great. I have no doubt. And JB, I'm gonna say this too while we're in this vein. I was thinking about the breadth of stuff that you've done. I was thinking about the last couple of years. I was thinking about a movie that I love that doesn't get enough attention.
Air Bud 2?
No. No, Game Night.
Game Night,
which I think is so
one of the funniest movies
funny,
ever.
So good. And then you do Identity Thief. Then you do Ozark. You've done so many different things.
Yeah.
And hats off to you. You don't get enough credit. You do a lot of great shit. So congrats. And I'm excited for Black Rabbit. And
and
the reason I bring it up is because you've been working so fucking hard. I know how exhausted you are, but you've been fucking doing it. And it's
for months
very
and
inspiring.
Months and months. Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate that. Listener, I apologize for all of this.
No,
this is weird.
No.
we're going to pay it back in spades. By
having said that.
I know. I should go on.
Couple thoughts.
Keep your email open, Jay. I got some thoughts.
Oh, my God.
I was sort of, not to, you know, throw back the wind up the bum, but, you know, I was thinking for some reason this morning, oh, I know why, because our next guest is a fancy pants in the Tony world. That Sean, you want a fucking Tony?
Okay,
but I mean that's like we did spend a little time on that, but it does keep coming back to me. That's not something they hand out.
You know,
it's a Tony is a real deal.
Believe me, it's not lost on me.
Like that's a whole different community that I'm very, very
you
proud
both
of
will
envious.
Do it. You both will do it, and you'll both be nominated, and you'll both win.
Yeah, I doubt it, but we may try.
It is pretty amazing. I was even about to do hand out to a Tony and Sean and Handy from a Tony, but I didn't. I'm like, fuck it. I'm not going to do that because I respect you too much and I love you too much. And I'm not going to make a stupid joke and try
to
connect.
It's too easy.
It's too easy and it's too thin, you know?
What else can we talk about while our listener and guest?
I got a couple things, but we should probably...
Open up the list.
No, I was just going to say, on the way home, I told Will, you and I were driving home from a friend's house we visited in the hills a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And I told Will the story, but Jay, I haven't told you. So when you go past Greystone Mansion, and there's a runaway ramp there, right?
Yeah, for and trucks with a lot of gravel.
Have you heard this?
No. Oh, no.
So like several years ago, I was like...
Oh, let's try that.
Yes, I did.
Come on.
I swear to God, I tried it.
You stupid ass.
Because I was like, what would it feel like? Because I want to know what it felt like. Well, I didn't know it was, I thought it was just like an inch of gravel. It was just to stop a truck. But it's like 80 feet of gravel. So when I drove up.
To stop a truck.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's supposed to completely absorb you like quicksand.
I drove up it and I started singing. I was like, holy shit, I got so scared. I peeled it out. I kicked some gravel up and thank God I got out of there.
You got out?
Yeah.
Wait, what car were you in? Your Audi?
No, it was before that.
Oh my God, you're so lucky you weren't the dumbass next to it calling a tow truck.
Like quicksand.
And just like with your hands up, like had to try it. Sorry.
I know.
I would have loved to have seen that, to open up the Daily Mail and see pictures of you next to the tow truck and just explaining to the cop, and then you have to pay because they had to come over. You know?
All right, here we come. Guest, wake it up. Listener, pull the car over. Our next guest is one of my favorite people in the world, period.
Wow.
There are some people that you meet, have a connection, you become friends. The connection grows, carries through many years, many stages of your life and theirs. These people become your family. There aren't many in our lives, so when you have one, you smile and bounce a little every moment you spend with them. And if you're lucky enough to work with one of these people, you end up doing a lot of smiling. So between you guys and her, my cheeks are killing me. Uh-oh. She's one of our finest actors, an accomplished producer, a rising director, an incredible mother, wife, and daughter. She's the recipient of 3 Academy Award nominations, 5 Tonys, 9 SAGs, won one of those, a BAFTA, 8 Golden Globes, won 2 of those, and 7 Emmy nominations, won 4 of those. She also has a doctorate from Brown and Juilliard. Guys, please welcome my fake wife, but true bestie, Laura Linney.
Oh, my God,
oh,
Laura!
Oh, my God, Laura!
And a dead dog in the background.
And the dog in the background. Hi, guys.
Wow,
hi.
This is a long time coming.
Yes, it ever. Is.
Yeah. And you had to suffer through all that bullshit we were talking about.
Sorry about that.
I had to earn my place.
I thought that maybe you and Jason were in a fight. It's been so long. I thought, what happened?
She's tough to schedule. You know, she's busy. And her deal is a tough deal.
Sure.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here. It's great to see all of you.
You too. Oh. I mean, when he was going through all of those noms, like 9, I know.
Oh, it's
5 Academy. I mean, it's unbelievable.
People like her.
It's bonkers.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
She doesn't suck.
Laura, I'm going to say this. Would you ever think about getting a t-shirt made that had listed all your nominations and just wear
front and back?
And it just says, ask me about the 7 Academy Awards, the BAFTA.
Well, the thing about it is that every once in a while, I mean, I don't know if you guys are like this, but I have to stop and every once in a while it'll hit me and I'll have to remind myself because you never feel like that's happened.
Right.
I mean, you never... You know, and I've been nominated a lot, and I don't win all that much, but I'm nominated a lot. But every once in a while, I'll be walking down the street, and it will hit me. I'll be like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, Sean, like, Tony winner.
Right?
Yeah.
Tony winner. That's it's amazing. Nice. Congratulations.
I know, in a soft year, but, right, but Lori, Laura, I think the thing that keeps us all sort of grounded is, and I'm looking at, again, pointing out that your dog is asleep in the background of your shot. No matter what you do, no matter how many nominations, no matter how accomplished somebody is, they're always likely in a room where there's a dog that's asleep and doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And the sock drawer's a mess and, you know, there's stuff that hasn't been taken care of and I'm behind on everything. And, you know, I have family members who are peeved at me because they haven't heard from me in so long. And so there's all of that stuff. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
But then there is, you know, the wild moment where you're like, oh my God, I cannot believe
my life
has led me here. I cannot believe I've been able to do everything I've been able to do.
Yes, and that you the thing that you chose to do with your life actually paid off. In
oh
spades.
My God!
Yeah,
come on. Crazy.
What about what a great writer you are too? I'll bet you've got some spin out. You've won plenty of things, but you've been nominated a shit ton too. So I'll bet there's some speeches. Now, do you keep them in a drawer? Do you remember them?
Great
because
question.
I want to have like a coffee table book once of all the unused speeches and whether it would be anonymous
great
or not.
Great idea.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yes.
Well, the thing that I've found is that you have a sense if you're in the running to win. And then there are times where you know, like, I'm not winning. There's no way I'm going to win.
Right.
So in some ways, that's the nicest because then you go and you get to have a good time and you're nominated, but you know you're not going to win. So you don't have to worry
prepared?
About, I'm going to forget, nothing prepared because I know.
Oh my God, it's so
and then
scary.
There are the times when you know you're in the running for things and you do have to prepare. So I must admit, I do have a few.
but Laura, would it be interesting to go back and look at some of those unused acceptance speeches and go like, oh, I was going to thank that person. I wouldn't. Not today.
Yeah, not today.
Not today, I wouldn't.
Like, it's like going over your will.
It's going to shift.
You're out of the will.
The winds have changed.
Yeah.
All of which is to say, as I did say, you don't suck. You're great at what you do. And it started a long time ago. Tell us about, like, remember, like, the first thing you saw or were exposed to that made you think, oh, I think I'd like to see if I could maybe do that. Mm. Was it a show? Was it a movie? Was it a play?
It was the original production of Vanities that was downtown at St. Clement's Theater.
How old were
in
you?
In the church. My father was a playwright, so I grew up around the theater. So I always knew I wanted to be a part of it in some way. I really didn't think I'd be an actress. It took me a long time to sort of get there. But I went and saw this play, and Kathy Bates was in it.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a three-person play. You know, it's not the greatest work of, you know, dramatic literature ever written, but there was something about it and being in that space and watching those three women be so wonderful. And I remember leaving, I was like, oh, I'm different. Something has changed.
Yeah.
So, and it's the power of really good work.
Were you a
teenager? Oh, no, I was younger. Definitely younger.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think I was 11 or 12, probably.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really cool. All right. So then from there, do you say to your dad, hey, what do you think the best first steps might be for me to go in this direction? Or how did that start?
No. What happened was my father was an apprentice at a theater in New London, New Hampshire, called the Barn Playhouse, the New London Barn Playhouse. And I used to spend the summers with my dad. My parents split when I was very young. So I would spend, you know, time with my dad during the summers. And I begged him to let me go work there. Begged him. Mm-hmm. So I went and I was a technical apprentice.
Nice.
And I broke every child labor law known to man. I mean, I was there
building
for like 14.
And,
you know, making a mess and doing all sorts of stuff and being way too young to be doing what I was doing. But it
sleeping,
was
drunk in the dressing room.
Like seeing everybody hook up and break up. And
you're refereeing a lot of hookups.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But then, what about the first time you got on stage and like risked? You know, look at me. Let's see if I got it.
Yeah, it was a production of, it was a Christmas show at school.
Uh-huh. school? How old?
I was really young. It was middle school. And it was the same year that Ms. Magazine came out.
Oh.
So we did.
Oh, that was 1981.
That's right. That's right. We did a feminist turn. We did a feminist turn on Santa Claus where Santa got a cold. and Mrs. Claus had to take over. So I was, it was that.
Oh, nice.
I remember the first, one of the first things I ever saw that made me go, wow. I was like 12 years old and I saw A Chorus Line. And I always thought how how different my life would be if I'd only seen it sooner, like at 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
6, 7, 8. Is that what? Yeah.
So then, all right. Now you start building up some momentum, and then you end up at, now, does Brown really kind of formalize your leap into this world, or was it at Juilliard?
I think probably at Brown. I was more at sort of an academic theater nerd. Yeah. So I studied theater history and all that sort of fun stuff, and then Juilliard was where it got serious. Yeah,
and the first sort of job that exposed you to the world would be,
I was the understudy in a production of Six Degrees of Separation, which was right across the street at Lincoln Center.
Oh wow!
And I was actually at that theater yesterday watching Holland Taylor in NA.
It was
fun. Every time I go in that space, it's professionally where I started. So
wow,
that's
I was
crazy.
I was the happiest understudy around. There was this room of understudies who were like, hello, yeah, hey kid, how you doing? Uh-huh. They've been understudies for years. And I would bounce in, happy as can be, and I would sit in the catwalk and watch the show.
That's up top, that's overlooking, yeah.
Yeah, where the lights are.
Yeah.
And I would sneak up there and watch, just to watch Stocker Channing get better and better and better better. And there was one night, I remember Katharine Hepburn came to see the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was in the catwalk watching Katharine Hepburn watch Stocker Channing.
Wow. Yeah. And you're by yourself, or are you with somebody else?
There's somebody in the catwalk. I think they haven't got it.
Wait, Laura, I've never heard that before. That you're up by yourself
in the catwalk
at Lincoln Center at a teenager, young?
No. This was after 20s? Juilliard, so I was early, mid-20s.
Yeah.
And because I had done stock and was a technical apprentice, I knew how to get up into the catwalk.
Yeah.
And you got a little snack with you, a little...
You're
up there
just
like enjoying.
You just watch.
In high school, I used to hang out up there. And just,
yeah, isn't
but,
it fun?
When there's no show, we would just go up there and like...
Oh, yeah.
Except Sean did have a snack with him, right?
Yeah,
what was his
at
snack,
all times.
Sean?
Probably Swedish fish.
But Laura, like, it occurs to me that you were so... Like, you had no choice but to do this life that you chose, or it chose... You.
A little bit.
Because it was at such a young age. And it was just, that was your life. You were around, you were in summer stock, you were at the thing, your dad, it was all around you. You wouldn't know.
Thank God it worked out. And thank God I love it as much as I do.
Yeah.
You know,
do you still love it as much as
I love it?
Yeah.
I love
you
it.
Do.
More now or less?
Oh, I think more. Yeah. Because the longer I'm in it, like a new set of problems sort of unlock themselves. It's like I've earned the right to a new set of problems.
Right.
And so it just keeps going. And
talk about the 8 shows a week thing. You still enjoy that.
Yeah, hi. I do. It is, but how insane is that? No one has any idea what that is.
The most difficult job in the world.
Unbelievable. And that type of fatigue is a very specific fatigue.
Well, the plus in the one-woman shows you've been doing too. Like that's
that
like
was
masochist.
Insane. That was bonkers. Ooh. Why did
nowhere to hide in a one woman show, right?
It was, I know. And I did it 3 times. I did it once in London. This was a show called My Name is Lucy Barton. And then I did it again in London to see if it would get easier. Because my first run wasn't that long. I was like, well, if it comes to New York, will it get easier? And what I learned is no, it does not get easier. It does not get easier.
If anything, it gets harder, Yeah.
So you get all this incredible training at Juilliard, and then you come out into, let's say, showbiz. What were the biggest challenges coming out of that and into this?
Into a professional situation, you mean?
Yeah,
several. That's less sort of
theoretical,
protected in sort of this theater world and technique and study and culture and entering more of sort of a business.
Yeah.
Well, you have to learn how to translate what you've learned into an appropriate setting.
Mm. You mean camera versus stage?
Well, there's that, but then also just on stage. I mean, there's like going to school is very different than being in the profession. And going to school, there's a certain type of concentration and there's a certain ability to get things done. And you have to learn how to translate that so you're still doing what you're doing, but that it's appropriate for the situation that you're in. Right. No one wants to hear about your process when they're working.
Right, right.
No one wants to hear about
actually,
it.
Will,
you got to zip it.
You have to deliver.
Will loves that, actually.
You got to. I remember because I did it with him on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. We just
I know, we
many
sure
times.
Did. We did a lot of processing.
We did
that.
A lot of processing
we,
there.
We
it was
sure
a lot
did.
Of, you know, decisions, choices.
How would a turtle walk?
That's right.
Yeah, I think that turtle's going too fast, realistically. But what yeah, about, right. what about how about like going away from the sort of, going into much more of a world of, now I got to make a living doing this. And
yeah.
How do those two things reconcile?
You know, you just sort of throw yourself in it and you just hope to God it's going to be okay.
Right.
You know,
right.
and you wait tables.
Yeah.
And you just sort of keep at it. And you
that's
realize.
That's what Jason wants to do.
That's right. That's
I
right.
wouldn't be bad. I don't think I'd be bad. Were you any good as a waiter?
You wouldn't be good at it because you'd have to
I'm
touch
terrible.
Things.
God,
you'd have to touch other people's
it.
Food and that would not go terribly well for you, I don't
trust
think.
Trust people who know you. You'd be awful at it.
I could deliver the food. I don't think I could clean up afterwards. You know, like when they take the utensils and they gather them in the middle of the plate.
Yeah, no, you'd have to touch them. You'd have to do that.
I'd be so gloved
yeah,
up.
No, I don't think so.
We'll be right back.
All right, back to the show.
I have to ask you, Laura, I was going to wait till the end, but I'm going to ask you now.
Any great theater stories?
Yes, not just,
oh, boy.
Well,
oh,
not just that.
A gazillion.
But like something, don't you? You must have like a classic something that went horribly wrong.
Oh, Lord. There,
you can come back to it.
Yeah, we can come back to it.
Because he doesn't, he wants a good one.
I love all them. Right. They're the love funniest them. Stories.
Yeah. They are the funniest stories.
Uh-huh. Because we so had, much funny
didn't
shit
we have
happens.
Somebody's supposed to, did somebody have a heart attack while they were doing a show once?
Yeah, who was
one
that?
One of our guests, who was that?
No, they didn't.
The,
no,
they
didn't,
the did but somebody in the audience did.
Yeah.
It's usually, the good stories usually happen when you're in a show that's really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, really bad, yeah, of which I've been in several. Mm. And it's so painful, and you really think you're going to rip the skin off your body just to get out of the embarrassment and the humiliation of it.
Yeah.
What about, Laura, is there any show that you did that you, and by show I mean, you know, any kind of a stage show that you did, where, and not to make anybody feel bad, but that you thought, this is going to be the thing, and it just didn't click with audiences?
No, you sort of know.
Okay.
You kind of know if it's really bad. You kind of know. You know, it's the ones where you think like, oh, this is right on the edge. I don't know. I don't think this is terrible. I think it's pretty good. I don't know how good it is. You never know how good it is.
Yeah.
Right.
But you know how bad it is.
Yeah.
That's something you can't run away from.
Yeah. That makes sense. Then conversely, was there ever, what was the thing that you thought, people will like this, but you were surprised at how well it resonated with people?
I think, well, I did a production of The Crucible a long time ago with Liam Neeson and that Arthur Miller was actually involved in.
Wow.
And before I accepted the job, I was offered Goody Proctor and I thought, oh, for fuck's sake, who wants to do The Crucible? Oh, God, you know, ye buckle shoes and ye oldie speak. Yeah. And, oh, for God's sake. And I called my dad and I was like, I've been offered Goody Proctor and I don't know. I don't know if I'm, and he was like, oh, no. He was like, you do that. You must do that. He's like, it is a great play. And it's only because we've all seen 9-hour high school productions of that play that it's sort of, you know, it's badly represented. Not that it shouldn't be done there, it should. But, you know, you don't realize how great that play is. Mm. And I had no idea what a masterpiece that thing was. A masterpiece.
So good.
And then you had incredible audiences for that, I'm sure. And that sort of, was that a bit of rocket fuel in your career as far as things that followed that? I mean, can you identify a particular job or moment where it felt different to you? Like, oh, the next few years might be a little bit easier than the last few.
No, I've never been someone who feels a big boost from any one job. I really haven't.
Wow.
I think it's been very subtle and consistent, and I'll take that. Thank you very much. I mean, that's fine by me.
Just for me, just as an audience member, I would say you hit my radar significantly 3 separate times early on with Mystic River, Squid and the Whale, and You Can Count on Me. Those were big moves for me, just as a fan.
It's funny because different people have different things. You know, some people, there's the Love Actually crowd, there's the indie movie crowd, there's the Clint Eastwood crowd, there's, you know, there's the theater people. So it's always interesting, the John Adams people.
Yeah. I mean, you conquered it all.
I know.
Really
conquered
it all. Hardly, but.
But when you hear those credits, you go like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're so varied. I mean, we were talking about with JB a little bit before, and actually Sean too. If you think about it, you did sitcom, you've won a Tony. I mean, these are.
I have not won a Tony. Oh, no,
but I mean,
Sean won the Tony.
Sean did, without question, he won a Tony.
Well, we should all have one.
Yeah, yeah, in what was a very quiet, quiet year. But but you did so many things that were, like, that worked on so many different levels. I mean, you think about Ozark or You Can Count on Me, which I love. I mean, we love Kenny Lonergan.
Yeah, was that your first nom? Was that your first Oscar nom,
yes.
You Can Count on Me?
Yes, it was.
I remember that. I remember sitting at home. I was so blown away, of course, everything before that, but that movie really had an impact on me and you especially. I was just, that's when I first was like, oh my God, I got to find out more about this person. And I just thought.
You know, there was this, they did a 25-year like fundraiser thing. And I don't like to watch myself. So as Jason knows.
I know, I just don't get it. Like, why would you treat yourself to it?
Oh, please. Yeah. So I went and saw I went and watched it for the first time in 25 years. And I think I've maybe only seen it once. And it was so wild. And Jason, I don't know if you feel this way when you look at stuff from a long time ago. But
how
I
much
saw
you do
things
different.
In myself. Well, I saw things in myself that don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
They're parts of me that are just from another time. Mm-hmm. That because of age or where I was or the relationship I was in or parents and dynamics and all of that's gone. And then I could also see the things that I recognize, you know, that is still there. So it was a wild thing to.
Yeah, they're time capsules kind of
that
moment
really
in your life.
We had Ruffalo on, and he talked really lovingly about sort of how he got the role on You Can Count on Me and his collaboration with Kenneth Lonergan. Does it all still sit fondly for you? Was that as great an experience as it seemed like it was?
It was a very tough shoot. You know, they had like 2 cents, so we were sitting outside, and then we had to clean out finally, I was like, guys, we need a place to sit. Like, I can't sit outside. I can't change outside. Like, I need a place. And so in behind the house where we were filming, there was a chicken coop that literally the chickens had left like 2 days prior. I mean, it was like, you know, chicken shit was like hanging in the cobwebs. And I was like, perfect. So I went and we cleaned it up and we all sat in the chicken coop.
Oh, that's great.
You know, so it was very rough and tumble. But you know, it bonded us all for life. I mean, Mark is literally like my brother. You know, Kenny and I are still close. And, you know, all of us are sort of, you know, bonded. And that's the thing about what we get to do. You know, the connections that you make, Jason Bateman, you know, are deep and meaningful and very, very, you know, significant in your life.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, and you do develop chosen family along the way. And it's really, it's one of the greatest things.
You do end up spending more time with people on set than you do your family at home. When you're working on something, it's 12 hours. Yeah,
for sure.
You know what else I love is Truman Show. Let's not forget about Truman Show.
Oh, I know, Truman Show, you see, there you go. So,
it just keeps
going.
There's
another one. I know it's on and on.
Primal
but I like
fear.
This idea, Laura, that you brought up about this, about like it being sort of a different life and a different parts of you that kind of go away. I was talking about this recently with somebody. And it's an interesting thing as you get older when you start to recognize that.
Oh, yeah. When you literally have a history.
Yeah.
Like, you have a history. You have different periods of your life that you've been through. Not just one, not two, but many. And it is wild to think.
Is. Yes. You know, last night, Scotty and I went down a YouTube rabbit hole of opening songs to old shows from the 70s and 80s and 90s.
God, how fabulous.
We did Silver Spoons. We looked up
Magic
all your
to
JV.
Do. Yeah.
Yeah, all those Dukes of Hazzard, like Facts of Life, Dallas, all that.
God, and, I want your life. I'd really love to come back as you, Sean. I mean, this is how we film nights. We go over.
But I was watching these openings of these shows, and it took me right back. To being a kid, like you, something clicks in your brain.
Mannix,
whether you,
Barnaby Jones.
Yes, all those. and I didn't remember, like the second I saw them, I actually had the feeling of a moment, like you said, of a stage in my life, which you don't sit around and think about until something triggers it.
No.
you know?
All right. So now you've got, you know, will you tell these ding dongs about this great super romantic story of you and Mark meeting each other in one of the most magical places world. And I just, she's got two incredible dudes in her life, her son and her husband. All right, you go ahead. So there you are.
Okay, so here I have been very, very single for 5 years or so. Mm-hmm. And I'm invited to the Telluride Film Festival where there are two films screening there. And I think, oh, you know what? I've never taken my mother anywhere. I should take my mother to this. This will be good. I'm just going to fly in, fly out. Terrific. So I bring my mother.
The greatest.
We go. And, you know, sometimes you're paired with a liaison who's a little, you know, eccentric. Sometimes those people can be a little, out there.
Sure.
And Mark sort of bounded up to us and said, "Hi, I'm Mark Schauer. I'll be taking care of you for the weekend." And I was like, "Oh, okay. Like a nice person. Okay."
Look at this guy.
And we spent the weekend together. And I can remember we were waiting to go to a screening. And we were waiting for Bill Condon, my director, to come downstairs and join us so that we could leave. And I remember I turned my head and I looked at Mark and I was like, "Am I attracted to this person? Am I attracted to my handler the Telluride Film Festival?" I was like, I was like, "Calm down." Like how wonderful I was feeling anything at all.
He's got the title of handler.
That's right.
Right.
You know, yeah. And I thought, you know, I'm going to be gone in 24 hours. Just be happy you're still alive and get out. Get out fast. And, you know, my mother was with me, so there wasn't a whole lot.
Now, were you collaborating with her on this? Did you ask her what her take was?
Oh, no. No. My mother, on the way to the airport, she was, "Well, Mark, are you involved with anyone?" And at which point I wanted to fall into the center of the earth.
No way.
Center of the earth. And he was like, "No, actually, I've been single for a bit." She was, "Oh, how interesting."
Subtle.
I left and we ended up, Mark and I ended up just emailing each other. I just, "Thank you. And I had a great time." And we, emails sort of started to fly. And then he started to get a little nervous. He was like, "I don't understand what's going on." Mm-hmm. And I immediately called. I said, "Look, I don't know what this is. I have no idea what this is. I don't know if we're friends. I don't know if it's more. The only thing I know is I don't want to let it go. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what to tell you." And he goes, "Well, when can we spend some time together?" And I said, I'm on a tour, a press tour when they used to do that. And he goes, "Well, where are you going to be?" I said, "I was going to be in Seattle. And I'm going to be in Chicago." He's like, "I'm from Chicago. When are you in Chicago?"
Oh, boy.
And I was, this date. He goes, "I'll meet you in Chicago."
Wow.
At which point I got very nervous and very scared and tried to get out of it several times.
Of course.
And I can remember going down the elevator in Chicago to meet him in the lobby, just terrified. Like, what am I doing? What in the world am I
having
doing?
Having a date.
Jesus, God, someone what is happening?
So at this point, you hadn't been on a date in quite some time?
Yeah, no.
Is that, so when you say you're scared, is that what you mean? You're like scared, like I don't know how to do a date anymore?
I didn't know this guy. Is he a serial killer? Like, what am I doing?
Yeah. Right.
I don't know anything about
this
guy.
She's just flown across the country to come see you. Is that weird or is it
happening?
Flattering?
What is happening?
And where did he live in Telluride at that time?
Yes. He drove a friend's car, which he had to drop off anyway. He was doing a favor for a friend, and he just made it work. So
full of bodies. You get rid of bodies?
Yeah.
You put them in a car, and
put
it in a swamp.
Right.
Sure, I know how to get rid of a body.
And I got out of the elevator, and I turned, and I saw him there, and like every fear evaporated.
Oh.
And I was like, "Oh, this is going to be fine.
Yeah.
Oh. This is going to be okay." And
amazing read that in people's faces?
Yeah, it was really, like there's just a chemical
it's like vibe
sort of
there,
yeah, like you're
isn't
like, oh, okay.
This was how many years ago?
Oh my God, 2004. So almost 20 years ago,
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And how old is Bennett now?
He's
your
10.
Son?
10.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
I know. Cool. So everybody go to film festivals. That's all I have to say.
Telluride is a magic place.
It is. Just go.
That's a great, you know what? That's a really nice story.
Yeah, you didn't have to do any swiping, nothing like that. Although I hear swiping is very nice nowadays. I hear it's easy.
Imagine.
Now, Bennett showing any interest in doing what you do at
No,
all?
Absolutely not. And refuses to watch anything I've ever done.
Yeah,
I mean, I made...
My kid's the same way.
I made Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles specifically for him.
Right.
Because anything else would emotionally damage him and scar
him
for life.
Did he see it?
No, won't see it. Refuses.
Won't see it.
What?
Refuses.
Does he explain what his problem is? Because my kids do. They're just like, it's just weird, you know?
I think it's
And
that.
They don't like when something bad happens to me. Like, they can't deal with, like, any sort of pain or even any sort of, like, challenge, like running from someone or something like that.
Yeah. A black rabbit, man.
What's the matter with you? Yeah, I'm not going to like that.
Oh, and I agree with you, Sean. I've seen the pilot.
Amazing.
And
amazing.
I knew it was going to be... No, listen, I knew it was going to be good, but I was floored by how great it was. And the thing
great... tell us why.
Well, Laura...
Well, hold on. The thing that is amazing when you have a relationship with someone who you've worked with for a long period of time and you watch them grow...
Yeah.
And to see Jason turn into this unbelievable director.
I
mean, always great. But this is a whole other level. And I've said this to him. I mean, it was... Absolutely, I was undone when I saw it.
Yeah,
I was so proud of it.
I agree, and I want to say this too. I agree with you. We mentioned it before. I don't want to embarrass you, JB, but it's also very confusing to watch somebody, your friend, somebody you love, grow while simultaneously they're shrinking.
Yes.
That has been...
Total atrophy. Yeah.
Yes. That
well, I'm playing
has been
a drug addict, you know?
I saw JB at the pool at his house 2 days ago. I came over 2 days in a row.
How'd you see him?
And he was at...
The light must have been hitting him directly.
Now, speaking of directing, Laura came in heroically... And agreed to direct episode 3 and episode 4 of Black Rabbit.
Wait,
she just finished.
Laura.
And she crushed this so hard.
We haven't seen it yet. We don't
know. I was there for every single day, and I've seen the dailies, I've seen the stills, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I knew she was going to be an incredible leader on set as far as just like this culture of friendliness and kindness and support and all that stuff. Like the crew just freaking loved her, as did the cast.
I'm sure.
Her comfort with all this added responsibility, like as actors, not to belittle acting at all, but actors simply are kind of insulated from, you know, like almost three quarters of the process because things need to be decided on and set up and assets need to be put into motion and et cetera. Then the actors come in and do their magical thing. She took on all of that, had only done it once before on Ozark, directed one of our best episodes ever. Her place is about three blocks from our studio. And I said, hey, it's real close. It's not terrible stuff. There's a good crew. There's a good cast. We would love to have you. Will you please consider it? And it would have been so easy for her to say no.
And Laura,
so much free time if she said no.
Let me ask you this. And you don't have to pat yourself on the back, but isn't it a gift to have been an actor and then a director?
Without a doubt. And also, like, but I really can't emphasize enough how I would never have done this unless Jason really pushed me to do it. Ever. Mm. I had no desire to do it. None.
Why?
I didn't want to be one of those, like, you know, idiot directors who you're saddled with who didn't know what they were doing.
Right.
I didn't want to be one of those people.
You're looking at JB. Why are you looking at him?
Yes,
you're
staring right at me.
And also, I didn't want to jeopardize my relationship with Jason.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another thing.
Yeah, but that horse left the barn on Ozark. He did such an incredible job on that episode.
I know, but still, you know, I don't think of myself as a director at all. I think of myself as an actress who's directed a few things now.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know, as I've said to Jason, like, I don't know how to thank him for that. How do you thank someone for giving you a whole other sort of
You do it all the time. But what about, now do you see, I'm going to get you, I've talked to you casually about this, now I'm going to get you on record. What part of your life going forward do you see directing being in? Like, what's our ratio going forward? I mean, as you talked a little bit earlier about how the roles, you kind of implied this, so the roles get better and better the older we get because they're more complicated, they're more nuanced, you're drawing on more from yourself. So acting, I'm sure, won't slow down. But there is time to do the directing as well. Did you get enough of a challenge and satisfaction from it to make it a bigger part of your life?
You know, I think I will go with it the way I have gone with the other stuff, which is if it comes my way or if there's something I find or if there's something I want to do, then I'll do it.
But will you tell your people to look?
I think they will look.
Okay. All right.
I think they're going to look.
Good.
What has it done for you as an actor? How has directing this much now changed? Do you think it's going to change the way that you approach the work now, that you approach material? Not to get into process, but just like when you're reading material, do you look at it through a different set of eyes a little bit?
I'll have to see, because the Ozark, which I did, was such a sort of a blip, and sort of my head was spinning the whole time, and I just didn't know what had happened. And then this one was so intense in the best way, and so all-consuming. Literally, we finished on Thursday. I just got out of bed this morning.
Yeah.
I mean, it took me like 3 days to,
really?
The fatigue, it's a whole other level of fatigue.
Look how wiped out her dog still is.
So I'll be really curious to see what it does. Hopefully it will make me a better actress. I mean, that's the hope.
Did it take more out of you than doing a one-woman show, eight shows a week?
Absolutely. Are you kidding? Absolutely.
Oh, it did.
I didn't have to deal
with
any people. I didn't have to deal with anybody. It was just me. I only had to deal with my own horrible stuff. But I didn't have to deal with, 200 people.
And 4,000 questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't have to reveal any names, any things. I mean, what's the thing that you find difficult in any working relationship? Something that gets you, that you won't stand for, or second, that really kind of rubs you the wrong way and you look out for to avoid?
Yeah. Mm. I think it's always hard when people have a preconceived notion of what something is supposed to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you come and you see something very different, or you see something way beyond that. Mm-hmm. And that is always a painful negotiation for everybody. And I understand from the other point of view, like, why that would be hard. I totally, totally get it. And we were very lucky on this one, how amazing all these writers were and all of that stuff. But I've seen that from the acting standpoint as well. I've really seen it more as an actress. Like, people don't see what I can just see things very clearly sometimes, and I turn to these people and go, but you wrote this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just doing what you wrote. Like, whether you are aware of it or not, you wrote this.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
We'll be right back.
And now back to the show.
Now, you've been Jason's on-screen wife for many years. You were.
Yes, lucky me. Mm-hmm.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
What is it? What's something about Jason Bateman that people might not know?
You'd like to divorce him about?
What is something that Jason Doug does that's kind of unique that you've noticed about him, like a quirk?
Here's one thing that I think why our friendship is so fulfilling for me, at least, and why working is so good, is that we work completely differently.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, we come from totally different cultures, completely different. And I love watching him work.
Yeah.
It's just kind of amazing. And it can only, that sort of work can only happen, and now I believe as well, the directing is benefiting from this as well, from someone who's been doing it as long as Jason's been doing it. I mean, it's in his bones in a way that it will never be with most people. He's just, had the time with it. And
well, he's only got bones left now.
That's true. He needs several cheeseburgers.
He's a walking bag.
No, it's really, it's quite something.
But this is probably what would lead to our divorce. It's too much work. It's a workaholic. Amanda and I talk about it all the time. Although she doesn't tell me not to, but she's just like, she's asking me this morning too. We were talking about this other thing. She's like, "Well, is that, if you were to direct that, is that all consuming?" I was like, "Yeah, it always is.
It's always consuming."
I know. But that's why we love it.
Can we get Amanda on here at some point too, do you think?
Yeah, let's talk about a deal Laura, stuff to
and
make.
Now we're working our way, yeah. we're into making reality. Our way towards your real yeah. wife, into yeah. having Amanda on be amazing.
I'm show, the stand-in.
We'll go around the circle. Next one will be either your current partner, Will, or an ex or something like that. Sean, mm-hmm. you as well. We'll all take yeah. turns. It'll just be sort of just like a rotating bloodbath, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, you sort of test the waters with me. I'm sort of, you know, as close as you'll get at this point.
Laura, what do you do to zone out after you've been working 14 hours and you're done directing something like that or a big play or something?
I go to bed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, honestly, there's not a whole lot that happens. I mean,
what are you going to do this week? You finished directing that show last week and now like yeah. this week is your recuperate. Are you going to yoga? Are you going to Pilates? Are you going to the gym?
No. No, I'm staring at a wall.
You're staring at the wall.
I'm going to stare at a wall.
Yeah.
I'm going to be really quiet. Yeah. Really quiet.
Right. Your quiet activity is reading. Watching reading. Bad reality TV.
Occasionally. Yes. Guilty.
You reading anything good? Right. What are you reading right now? Anything good?
I just picked up, oh God, what's it called? I Won't Leave You. Do Not Leave Me. I forgot. But I was reading, you know, vigorously until Black Rabbit happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
it all fell apart.
And then you're going to start editing next week, right?
But tomorrow is one of the things I read last year, which I just still am floored by.
Really?
If tomorrow, it's wonderful.
Fiction?
Fiction, yeah.
Huh.
Spectacular, yeah.
Is it a thriller?
No, it's about three friends who make video games. It's a world I know nothing about, don't really care about. And boy, this book is glorious. It's so beautiful.
Really?
Tomorrow. It's beautiful.
I'm going to read it.
Yeah, are the options available? I mean,
I think they're already, I'm sure they're already taken. Also, The Librarianist is really good.
I've heard
Patrick
that
DeWitt.
One. Yes, I
very,
heard
very, very good. Yeah. So you can join my book club. I'll send you some recommendations.
I've just been reading this. I'm reading this this biography. It's 20 years old on de Kooning right now that is just absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
On Bill DeWitt.
What's that mean?
Willem. On the painter, Willem de Kooning.
Oh,
Bill
de Kooning.
There's a Sylvia Plath biography that everybody loves.
I'm going to write that down too.
You know? Laura, if you weren't an actor or director, what do you think you would do? You had to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not where you would have possibly hit a left fork instead of a right fork early on, but like today, if you had to pick a different career, what do you think you're best suited for right now? Like, would you write books? Would you teach at Juilliard?
I think medicine.
Medicine?
Medicine.
Yeah, I think medicine.
Really?
I love medicine,
too. Like a doctor or something?
Yeah, I think
yeah.
so.
Do you love medical stuff? And, like, I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, no, I do.
I
do like
to know people's issues, how they got it, what
and
the cure
was. And I weirdly
was.
Know things. Like, how do I know what a pericardium is? Why do I know that?
Mm-hmm. You know, but I could see you working with people in maybe medicine and maybe teaching, maybe doing something. You have such a, and I'm going to say that you have such a kind smile.
Yeah.
And you really do.
I will.
But you know, all the way through Ozark, every weekend almost, she would be flying off to give some sort, because of her show, The Big C, which was centered around cancer. She would give these speeches to, correct me, Laura, patients, doctors, medical institutions, recovery homes, etc. She just delivered these speeches about the will to live and the joy of life or how to deal with grief, etc. You'd write these things and you'd fly across the country with your weekends off to talk to these people and buoy them.
I didn't ever knew that, and I love that.
And I sort of use it also as a way for arts advocacy, you know, which is just to talk about the arts as much as I can, anywhere I can, as long as I can.
Yeah.
Because it's so important.
Like Sean, she's not sitting at home making sloppy joes and figuring out, you know, what TV
who loses?
Theme
who
track
loses then?
Sean and Scotty sit around talking about farts advocacy. Am I right? These two guys.
But I just think it's like you're going to cut lines upstairs after you're done with all this angel work. I don't know. Where does it come from? Mom, dad?
I don't know. I think I like people. I think I, you know, and I love the arts. I love the arts. I think like more than just like a selfish thing. I think it's unbelievably important for culture. and society.
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't. It is so undervalued.
It's unbelievably medicinal. You cannot, there is no wasted time when you're engaged with the arts. It will make everything better. I mean, it's just.
I so agree.
At a time when the brain is growing too. So like with you, like with the work that you do at Juilliard too, when kids are, I mean, they're not toddlers anymore. They're young adults.
Yes.
But I imagine that work for you is super fulfilling. What remind me what your role is currently
at
Juilliard.
There? What do you
tell Tracy in Wisconsin what you're doing there at Juilliard and what Juilliard is for Tracy.
Juilliard is a arts conservatory school, which is sort of one of the leading schools in the country that teaches music, opera, dance, and drama. There are four departments.
At Lincoln Center?
Right across the street from Lincoln Center is the Juilliard School. It's there. Mm. It has a long, illustrious history. I somehow, by the grace of God, got in there. And, you know, people will ask, like, what was your big break? And for me, it was getting into that school, hands down. Hands down. So I was there for 4 years, and about 15 to 18 years ago, they called and asked me to give the commencement speech, which I did, and they also invited me to join the board of the school, which I did. I was the only, I think there were only two artists on the board at that time, and I've been on it now for a long time, and I'm now vice chair for a limited period of time.
That's so cool.
So I'm very involved there and seeing like what... institutions like Juilliard, what they do, how they do it, why they do it, and the, you know, the challenges that are facing young artists today.
Yeah.
You know, so, and also I try to, when I have the time, I try to mentor the outgoing class. I will go in and talk to students. I'll take them out to lunch. I'll, you know, and sometimes I can do it and sometimes I can't.
What is the biggest challenge, Laura, for, you know, a young aspiring actress today? What do you think that biggest challenge is?
Yeah. Money.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's impossible. Mm-hmm. I mean, and which is why Juilliard's making such a concerted effort to go tuition free. You know, it's and why a lot of schools are because we train these artists at this very, very high level. They leave and then they can't support themselves and then they drop out and we lose them.
Right.
Do you spend a lot of time raising money or working with people or working with groups to try to raise money for the school? Are you guys dealing with high net worth individuals, all these people that you need, these patrons, as it were, who some of them, I mean, I'm sure some of that's tough, but you need that, right? You need to have these people in order to keep it running.
Yes, the angel people, yes. Yeah. And then you need the small donations as well. You need people just involved. You need people who just to care about the arts.
Open your pocketbook for once.
Jason. I just did a whole new winter wardrobe. It's thin right now.
No. Listen.
Okay.
He lost a lot of weight. He needs a new clothes.
Yeah. He just got back from Paris.
Yeah.
He goes.
I need it. Speaking of books and stuff, tell me something you've seen that you love recently. A TV show.
Before we leave the Juilliard thing, and speaking of angel people, so Laura just continues to blow my mind. So we have this young actor on the show. His name is Robert Elijah Coleman. He is he was going to Juilliard. He got cast in this show. He was working on a day. This is a month ago. When Juilliard graduation was happening. He had done his 4 years at Juilliard. It's incredible to graduate from Juilliard, but he was scheduled to work on that day. Partly my fault, I was directing, but Laura was prepping her episodes coming in, so she was around the set. And what she decided to do as a big shot at Juilliard was to grab his diploma, grab his cap and gown, write this long speech, an incredible speech that one would receive if they were lucky enough to be at their ceremony when they're graduate, but he couldn't because he had to be sitting on set. She asked me if she could stop production for about 5 or 10 minutes, bring in a cake, do the whole thing, gather the whole crew, and she delivered the speech and she put on the graduation music and everything. This kid, the greatest guy, was so bowled over, as was the whole crew and cast. And she presented him with his diploma and full graduation ceremony right there on set after 4 years of Juilliard. Like who has that idea?
You know, that is really, really, really sweet. That is incredible.
Well, you know, there are moments in your life. They're big moments that need to be recognized. And, you know, Eli had been through, I know what it is to go through Juilliard. I know what it is to graduate from that school to feel like you've, you know, you've done something and now, oh God, what's going to happen now? And you've done it with an ensemble of people. And for it killed me that he was not going to be with his
And he didn't tell anybody on set. He had not mentioned it to anybody that he was missing his graduation.
Yeah, I knew. So I went to him. I'm like, are you okay about this? And he was so good-natured about it.
Yeah.
He was so happy to be there. He was like, I'm fine, I'm fine. And I just couldn't stand it. So and Jason was kind enough to let me sort of hijack the set for a bit. So it was fun. It was really fun.
Yeah, the performance of being at a graduation doesn't come close to doing the thing that you graduated for.
Right, to get the job.
And it didn't
matter that they had to move that day, that he had to shoot that day because Jason had a golf game on the other day.
That's right.
That doesn't matter. It doesn't even come up.
No.
It doesn't even come up.
We'll work it
that
out,
doesn't even
Eli.
Come up.
Yeah,
because he's got a tea time with his buddies.
Sean, what was your question? That was
I was just
going
to see. I'm always interested in what people are watching recently that you liked or any recommendations, documentaries, movies.
Alone. Been watching Alone.
Oh, me too. Jason loves that.
I love Alone. Can I just say one more thing? I want to talk about Alone before we get out of the Juilliard stuff. What can people do to support the arts wherever they live, wherever anybody's like, what would be a really important thing that people who listen to our podcast could do to try to help young people get involved in the arts? And what can they do?
Oh, I know. Vote for the Democratic ticket.
There's that.
Well, apart from that, but what could people do, honestly, Laura?
Go. I mean, I think, Sean.
I just thought that was a really good suggestion.
Sean's got that update on his iOS where he does the double thumbs up. It's fireworks.
Yeah.
I think it's go. Find something in your community that is there. Mm. Go with your family. Have a communal experience and go.
Yeah, just buy a ticket.
Get off your phone.
And see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a big name droppy moment. But Edward Albee said to me one time.
Pick it up.
He said, listen to Bach for 10 minutes every morning. He says, it organizes the mind.
Wow.
And he's right. And so I tell people, when I give these speeches around the country, I tell people, like, try it for 2 weeks. See what happens. Just 10 minutes. And Jason, you know, because you love classical music, you know, that it permeates your being and it realigns you in a way. Music does. I mean, Sean, you know this as well. You know, it's a powerful thing, the arts. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the most underused resource we have, or one of them, in this country. And it makes me crazy that our government has never really leaned into that.
Yeah.
Except now our Surgeon General is using it for mental health.
Yeah.
You know, he's encouraging people to get involved and go.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's probably a lot less violence in the world. I know that's a crazy thing to say.
It's not.
Like, if more people are exposed to the arts, there's
absolutely.
It gives them
And graduation rates skyrocket. If a kid is involved in the arts.
Yeah.
It's just skyrockets. And there's always something somewhere. And you don't have to be good at it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be an artist yourself.
You have to be exposed
just
to it.
Willie's talking about starting to paint. He's going to start painting a bit.
Yeah. I can do stick figures. I mean, that's, you know, beyond.
We're not expecting more than that from Will. But
it's not going to be, I'm not going to be showing anything. It's going to be.
Yes, you will. For this Christmas, I want a shitty painting.
It's going to be really shitty. I'm excited about it. I was just thinking about it this morning, actually.
Good.
Yeah. I can't wait to see some of that.
Grab someone you love or grab someone you like and go. And have an experience, and just see what happens.
You know? I grabbed somebody I liked at the Stop and Shop, but I didn't know them.
You're going to find out what happens when the case is adjudicated.
Check out the Daily Mail. So let's get to you were talking about Alone. You love Alone, like JB and me.
Yeah, brand new season just started. I watched it because of
him as well.
Yeah. I know it's intense, isn't it? I love the guys who go in. This is early in first few seasons, the really tough guys who are absolutely going to crush it, and they're gone in 2 hours.
Yeah, I know.
First one's
like
out.
A rustle in the waves, and they're like, I'm tapping out. And I think that would be me.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't last for 2 seconds.
I'd tap out before they land the helicopter.
Yes. Celebrity Alone would be hilarious.
I'd be tapping out when I'm connecting flights in Minneapolis. I'd be like,
I would hang up on my manager on the phone call about the request. No, the great Aline Kashishian would get the hang
up. That's right. I love like the places they build for themselves.
Yeah.
I know.
You know, those huts and the, it's just sort of,
it's like they took Naked
thing.
And Afraid and like kind of just heightened it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also love like these poor people filming themselves at the same time.
I know. That's all part of it.
You know? I like it when they build a great house. Like when a guy, there was a guy once in one of those seasons up in the Northwest Territories in Canada, and he built like this stone house with moss and stuff. You're like,
yeah. The moss.
Like that.
The moss. Who knew moss was so
and then important. they gotta rip it down when they leave. You know, they do that little time lapse thing when it all goes away. It's like, no.
I know.
Laura, we're over. Oh. We're over time. You will be compensated. Checks in the mail.
Yeah.
We love you. I love you most.
I'm a massive fan. Have always been.
Truly.
I love all three of you. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to work with two of you. And Sean, we're due.
Yeah. I would love it.
Figure that out. And thanks, JB.
I love you. I'll see you in a few days. Say hi to Mark and Bennett.
I sure will.
And go feed your dog.
Loved the family. Will do. I'm going to wake him up. Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye, Laura.
Thank you. Bye. Well, that was lovely. It was painful for me. It was a lot of love to receive. I'm not good at that, but thank you.
But and, you're doing better.
I love if you could pick a second wife, she would be it.
Imagine if it wasn't her. I mean, it was her for a reason, you know? You guys really connected, and I can't imagine anybody else playing that part.
I still remember the day I she was the first person I went to on Ozark. I took her out to breakfast at this restaurant in the bottom of this hotel I was staying in New York. I was there scouting, I think. And we share a manager, Aline Kashishian, and I said to Aline, I said, do you think Laura would ever consider doing a show again? And she's like, we should just talk to her. Just, you know, and I met her at that restaurant and just pitched her for an hour and a half and was really nervous about even the possibility of her saying yes or no. I just was such a big swing because I knew by having her on the show, not only would she be an incredible actor on it, but what she would sort of signal to the audience and to the community in the business about what the show is and what the show isn't. She's just such a great recruiter of high quality people and a declaration of sort of the quality we're kind of shooting for.
Yeah.
And it was just such a gift that she said yes. The show never would have happened without her, ever.
Yeah. I can't imagine anybody else doing that part.
Yeah. Yeah. So lucky. And what a great guest.
Yeah, she's. I've always been such a massive fan. Like, she's an actor's actor, and
she really is. Exactly.
And you look at her body image, just goes on and on and on and on and on. IMDb.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I love that she was here. And by the way, long time coming.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that was. I remember talking to her when we first got started. We were still doing Ozark, right? Yeah.
Oh God.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah. Right at the end.
That's right. That's
during COVID.
For a year.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember talking to her. Yeah. I remember her sort of just looking at me like, I could just sense she was kind of looking at me like, you're doing what?
Yeah.
Every week you're what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then she started saying, well, you know, some people are talking to me that apparently they've listened to your podcast or something. There, people are liking it. I'm like, you got to come on. And she was like, yeah. Okay.
Well, it's nice to know. Here we go. It was nice to know.
Now you're just telling us.
This is the guy who, when you merge
nice
on a freeway.
Nice of her to drop by or something like that. Is that what it was going to be?
Sean is just going to be a terrible merger on the freeway. He either comes in doing 120 miles an hour or doing 30 miles an hour, and everyone's got to slam on the brakes. Go ahead. Zip her in.
No, I just thought it's nice that she said hi to directing, but she definitely didn't say bye to acting.
Christ.
Bye. Oh, fuck, gosh, man.
You're the worst.
Fuck. Fucking fuck, dude. Holy shit. That is rough.
Bye.
We might have to put you on a hiatus that you can't initiate
for a
biatus.
Smart. Less. Smart. Less.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Michael Grant Terry, Rob Armjarv, and Bennett Barbico.
Smart. Less.